Hey, Blue Kool-Aid drinkers. It is officially draft week. Last week, we had our three-round mock draft with Bob, Rud Dog, UJ, and your host, Big Z. I'm giving our first three rounds. But this week, just this last Monday before the draft on Thursday, we wanted to get some more perspective from Adam, our Lions draft expert, on just a few names to throw out there and look for in the draft. This week, we're definitely covering cornerbacks, wide receivers, and tight ends, some of the more controversial positions the Lions are looking at in this draft for certain. But last but not least, last week we had some audio issues in the beginning, so we apologize. But we wanted to really reiterate the fact that we prayed and hoped that Kelly Stafford would have a successful surgery. It was reported that it was supposed to be 6 hours, ended up being 12 hours. My little brother had a 10-hour brain surgery, so I'm very familiar with that whole feeling. So our thoughts and prayers go out to her and the Stafford family, and that she can have a speedy recovery. She's already back home, it looks like, which is great. That's a good sign that everything went well. So we just thinking of her. If you are affected by this at all or want to donate, please reach out to the American Brain Tumor Association. That's abta.org. We'd really appreciate it. And we really appreciate you listening. I know we have some technical difficulties every once in a while, but we really appreciate you guys listening. So now it is time for the podcast. It's draft week. If you are really tuned in to what's going on, please look for our podcast immediately on Friday morning as we react to the first round of the draft on Thursday. Thank you. Go Lions and enjoy the podcast.
This is Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, a Detroit Lions podcast. We're lifelong Lions fans.
UJ.
Rud Dog.
Bob.
Connor.
And I'm your host, Big Z, to talk about your favorite team, the Detroit Lions, where victory isn't just talked about, it's earned. One pride. Let's get this podcast rolling.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's draft week. Here on Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid and in the NFL, we discussed our 30-round mock draft, but we're joined by UJ, Bob. Rud Dog is having some technical difficulties right now, so he might join us later, unsure. And then we got Adam. Adam's back for Adam's Corner this week. Welcome on the podcast, boys.
Hello.
Welcome back, Adam.
Hello. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah. So let's just dive
for having me back.
Right into it. Adam, this week I want to go over cornerbacks, wide receivers, and then I want to get into the tight ends later. But cornerback is definitely a need for the Lions, especially that second cornerback spot. Nevin Lawson no longer with the Detroit Lions. Lions making some signings this offseason. Robinson, right? Robinson from the Raiders? What was that guy's name?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember his full name right on the top of my head. I should have been prepared, but I knew we were talking about cornerbacks too. Apologies, listeners. Anyways, we all know the Lions need that second cornerback. There is no clear-cut second guy. T. Stabor? No. No. He might be a nickel cornerback in the red zone at best. That's the best I can give him.
His breakout year was this year.
Yeah, I agree.
Before we get into cornerbacks, just really quick question. Is T. Stabor the worst draft pick of the Bob Quinn era so far?
No, I think that long snapper Landis was his worst.
Yeah, Jimmy Landis. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, I'll give you that one. I'll give you that one. I'll definitely give you that one. That was fifth round, right, Jimmy Landis?
I thought it was a sixth rounder, but
yeah, I think it was six.
Okay. Wow. I'm just batting 1,000 here so far. Just starting off this episode.
You're just making us look good, Z.
So, Adam, there's no chance that the Lions are going to draft Greedy Williams, right? This guy is not showing the flashes of a guy that should be drafted at the top 10. Because we've talked in this podcast before that a top 10 cornerback should be like a Peterson from the Cardinals, like a guy that's a surefire, you know, this guy's going to be a lockdown corner. There's no doubt about it. Greedy Williams has some issues.
I'll say this. Greedy has all the athletic ability that he would need. He just doesn't have the whole package put together yet. So I'm not comfortable taking him at 8. No.
So he's a high ceiling, but a low floor, possibly, type of guy.
Yeah, I would say that's true.
So a lot of people have had, and I think Bob last week on the podcast, your second round in the mock draft, was it Bob that said Justin Lane from Michigan State?
Yeah, I did have Justin Lane second round.
So Adam, would you like to see Justin Lane picked in the second round of this draft?
He is actually one of my top three picks for our second round pick.
And why is that?
Depending on
6'2", 192. I like that size.
Yeah. 15 pass breakups just last year.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. He's out of Michigan State. He was a former wide receiver, correct?
Yes, he was.
I like that. There's some versatility there. The Lions could have a six wide receiver, right?
Adam, well, since you mentioned it, what are your three hopeful picks for the second round?
For me, it would be either Justin Lane, Chris Lindstrom. He'd be a right guard for us, or Deebo Samuel.
Okay. And Deebo Samuel is a wide receiver from South Carolina, right?
Yes, he is.
That guy has good hands. That guy has good hands. And we'll talk about him a little bit when we get to the wide receivers. But who else?
Yeah, because Z and I both saw a receiver in the third round. But but go ahead.
well, right now I want to get kind of hone in on those cornerbacks. So the third and fourth round, if the Lions don't go into with the cornerback in the second round, who are some third and fourth round targets the Lions can go after in this draft?
I would say if we're going third, fourth, I'd probably target like a Jamal Dean, who has all of the skill in the world. He just has never been fully healthy. So you're kind of betting on the upside there.
6'1", 206 out of Auburn.
Yes. He's a fantastic cornerback when he's on the field. Well, some late round guys that I would look at, my top one in the late rounds is out of James Madison. He's only 5'10", 179, but 18 interceptions in his career, so he really knows how to get to the ball. So we're getting a small school, a good small school prospect there. Hasn't faced the top level that you're getting elsewhere, but he knows how to get there.
Real small school guy. I'm not sure if this is anything like the last small school cornerback the Lions drafted. What was his name? Greenwood out of Albion?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They were all hyped about him. What did they give him, like the fourth round or something like that? And he turned out to be nothing.
I don't think he ever saw the field.
No.
No.
But you don't see that on this guy, do you?
No. This guy has all the skills to play cornerback already, whereas Greenwood, he had all the athletic ability in the world. He just was not a polished prospect. Mm. The only concern with Moreland is his size.
And is he expected to be drafted?
Yes, I would say probably.
By anybody in the seventh round?
Sixth round, and we have already been connected to him.
Okay.
Adam, what do you think of my guy, Julian Love from Notre Dame?
I like Julian Love. He's got the ball skills. He's got that ability to be where he needs to be. But there are definitely higher ceiling corners in this draft. Lane is one of them. Another is Amani Arawarie out of Penn State.
Oh, yeah. Another six. There's a lot of tall cornerbacks. That's another 6'2", 205 guy.
Yeah.
There seems to be a type that's popular on top of the draft board this year in terms of length and weight.
Well, it's becoming the prototype. You know, things evolve over the years. It seems to be going that direction now.
And since we're on cornerbacks again, there's another name that's been pretty popular with the Lions, at least in the second round. Not just Justin Lane, but Rakia Sin. What can you tell us about him, Adam, out of Temple?
He's very, very raw still. Rakia Sin has pretty much just started his career. Small school, has shown the ability to get where he needs to be, but he's not shown it consistently enough. But there's a reason he was brought to the Senior Bowl as a really small school prospect, and he showed a lot there. So he's intriguing at the very least.
I like it.
Yeah, no, there's Rudd Dog finally getting in on there. Welcome.
Damn technology.
Don't I know it.
UJ, where did you have Julian? Did you pick him in your mock draft last week?
Yeah, he was my third round pick in my mock.
Third round pick. I think he might be gone by the third round.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I think he's seen as a top 50 prospect in this draft.
Second and third round, I see him pegged in this chart here. Yeah.
If we were drafting in our original spot in the third round, it's a possibility, but we do have that. We did trade out and then get the Eagles third round, so we're later in the third round this year, unfortunately. I believe the 88th overall pick. So that
honestly, I'm fine with that trade back. It gave us hand.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. I haven't heard too many complaints about that trade now that we've seen what Deshaun Hand can do. We've talked a lot about the defense in this draft, especially this year for 2019, the Lions, just because especially the first rounders, there's so much defense down the top. And then the quarterback we had in need. But really, arguably, the bigger problem on our team last year was the offense to a large degree. And there is some glaring holes. And I really want to talk about wide receiver because there's some really good wide receiver talent, I think, that you can get out of the second and third round. And we've already seen what Bob Quinn could do in the draft by finding, like, a third-round steal, like, a la Kenny Galladay. I don't know what high school he went to.
St. Rita, you mean?
St. Rita product, yes.
And I feel like I've heard that before.
Adam, if you're not familiar, we have two St. Rita alums on this podcast. So.
Oh, okay.
You'd never guess it.
Yeah.
They don't mind all of Stay tuned. We'll probably sing our fight song for you one of these days.
Yeah.
Please, God,
so,
no.
Well, Rudd.
So my big is Paris Campbell available to anybody who wants him. Any round.
Well, that's what I wanted to get to. So this is the real Adams quarter segment of the week, and that's really focusing on a wide receiver. It's the most fun position, I think, to talk about in this draft for Lions because they can go so many different directions.
Let's but be Adam, honest, though. Who doesn't want us to take – him in the second round now after Big Z full testicles.
Adam, this is the first question I want to get with you. Where do you think Paris Campbell is going to go in this draft?
Probably too high.
Yes, that's what I like to hear.
I would say he's probably going to go second round, but honestly, I just don't see it.
I love Paris Campbell. I think he's going to be excellent.
Everyone loves him, and I just don't see it.
Why not? What are you not seeing?
He's never eating bull testicles.
Shown that dominance to me. He's not the best route runner. He's speedy. I'll give him that.
So, Adam, if you don't like Paris Campbell, is there another? Because my and a lot of our agreement here, the Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we really think that the Lions need that top-end speed guy. Because Marvin Jones, Kenny Galladay, these aren't guys that are necessarily breaking away from defenders and getting that separation. I think the Detroit Lions were last in the league last year in separation. That could have been a Jim Bob Cooter thing. it definitely had something to do with that. Most of us believe. Hey, I don't know about Bob.
But... God rest his soul.
He's still alive, Bob.
So, Adam, who do you see as a guy that can take the top end off the defense in this draft, if not Paris Campbell?
I would say if we want that top end speed and going the way that I want to go with that really good route running, I'd probably go with an Andy Isabella.
Yes!
I'd go with a
Mika with that.
Out of Georgia, Stanley Morgan out of Nebraska. Or we could always take DK in the first, so if you really
No.
Only if we trade back.
You want to talk about bad route runner? That's DK Metcalf to it.
But he looks like the Hulk, so I guess he's got that going for him, which is nice.
There was a guy named Mike Williams who was supposed to be a good route runner and receiver.
Oh, God. Yeah, right. He's a good pizza eater, though.
Yeah.
I'll say this about DK.
That was Nate Burleson. That was Nate Burleson.
Well, he wasn't a good pizza eater. He
Holder.
Was bad. He would have whatever delivery.
Yeah. Sorry, Adam. What about DK?
The thing about DK is it's a high investment for a player who wasn't the best receiver on his team in this draft. I'm more of an AJ Brown guy.
Yeah, I would rather see A.J. Brown for sure than be.
Tell us more about A.J. Brown. I'm unfamiliar.
A.J. Brown shows pretty much everything you want out of big slot. He's great with contested catches. He can break off his routes in a bunch of different ways. He's got some concerns about press coverage where he's very inconsistent getting off the line, but in the slot, not as much of a deal. He's pretty good against the boundary when asked. Last four games of the season, that's pretty much exclusively where he was. And he pretty much showed out. So,
and who did he play for?
Let me give you the stats, Bud Dog. A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf played on Ole Miss together. D.K. Metcalf, 26 catches, 569 yards, and 5 touchdowns. A.J. Brown, 85 catches, 1,300 yards, and 6 touchdowns.
Only 6 touchdowns, oof.
What do you mean only 60? Did you hear how many yards and catches he had in comparison to D.K. Metcalf?
I just heard that D.K. Metcalf had like a third of the catches. And just
yeah, because all D.K. Metcalf does is run deep downfield. And I think 3 of those were against Southern Illinois University this year.
I know, that's fine. I mean, it sounds like the guy's good. I'm just saying, we don't need a premier volume catch guy right now, in my opinion. I think we need like a guy who is like a game breaker.
That's A.J. Brown. Metcalf.
Okay. Well, wait, but why doesn't he get touchdowns very often?
It's because of where he was used on the field.
Okay, you think he could be more of a playmaker in the red zone in the NFL?
He can play anywhere you need him to play. He's just best in the slot. But he's big, he's fast, he's incredibly athletic.
Okay.
But
AJ Brown?
I'm really glad the first guy you mentioned was Andy Isabella, because that's my guy for the Lions this draft. I would love to see them draft him. Even if they have the reach, I think it's a little bit of a reach at their spot in the second round. But, man, I just think the guy's a game changer.
I like the idea of Andy Isabella. Speed,
in
baby.
In the second round, no way. He'll be available in the third round, probably.
Well, you never know with these.
I don't know about that.
There's a guy named Cooper Kupp that I can compare to him a little bit. Andy Isabella is faster than Cooper Kupp was, but that similar
shorter,
type of
though.
small school, good route runner that made a lot of plays. And
the one
that type of guy is very valuable in the NFL now, and I just don't see him falling to where the Lions are in the third round.
So I love Andy Isabella's speed. I love his route running. I just have one main concern with him, which is that he is one of the biggest body catchers in this draft.
Dude.
Yeah, he short arms a lot of passes.
Then Stafford's going to have to be extra accurate with a guy like that.
Yeah. Hey, Adam, I just had a question about my third round guy. See what you think of him if the Lions pick Miles Boykin in the third round.
Oh, yeah. Miles. MD, baby. Yo.
He fits pretty much everything they want in a wide receiver athletically. He just is very unpolished. I think he's got the upside. It's kind of like a Kenny Galladay pick where they've got pretty much everything you want. It's just a matter of can they put it together.
A little faster than Kenny G, too.
Yeah, faster than Kenny G, about as big, which is good. We need some size.
Yeah, I mean, he's 6'4", 220, out of, Notre Dame, if you haven't listened to this podcast. We definitely brought him up before. The only thing that was concerning, at least with his testing, was his strength and being able to possibly press off the line of scrimmage.
I've seen enough from him pressing off the line of scrimmage that I'm not overly concerned, but I don't know if he can be a number one receiver. Then again, it depends on if Kenny can step up.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So one other name I want to throw out there, just a really popular name, just because we've seen him so much in the national spotlight. And I know UJ, you really like him. Rud Dog, I think you do too. At least you guys have mentioned him before. Is Hunter Renfrow out of Clemson?
Yeah.
Where's this guy going to go? Because he seems very much like that Patriots type receiver that's had a lot of success.
I'd say he'd probably go like third, fourth round. Very agile, not very fast. but he does a good job of getting to the ball when he needs to. I've never really seen a play where it seemed, hey, he could have done more to get to where he needed to be. So if you want a pretty solid guy, I would say he's a good choice. But there are so many good slot receivers this year that it's probably not the way that I would go.
I was thinking like fifth or sixth round if you could grab him. Like, he's Mr. Third Down for Clemson, yeah. National Championship team. Like, he fits that mold exactly like the Patriots always, Edelman and the guy we just got, Amendola. I mean,
he's in that model that's becoming very popular these days of very agile and can play pretty much exclusively out of the slot, but in a big role. Sort of like that, a little bit like Cooper Kupp.
A little shorter, though. Cooper Kupp,
yeah,
I feel like.
Shorter.
Cooper Kupp's like a outside receiver build, I feel like.
Adam, all right, we discussed a lot of these wide receivers, but now I want, just like last week, that late sixth, seventh, maybe even undrafted free agent guy that we're really not talking about, that's off completely everybody's radar. Your Adam's apple of the week at wide receiver, the guy in the draft. Who's your Adam's apple of the week?
See, my Adam's apple is actually one of the higher round guys that I just really want on our team, which is Deebo Samuel. But if I'm going lesser known, but rising,
let's talk about Deebo Samuel.
I see him thrown around a lot, line circles.
Deebo Samuel, every time I turn on a South Carolina game, the guy was catching the ball. I didn't see him drop too many passes.
No, he doesn't really drop the ball. He's always getting open. He's a lot like Golden Tate in that manner, in that he's just always open, and then he gets yards after the catch.
So he's a future wide receiver. We'll trade in the middle of a divisional. The thing I like about Deebo Samuel that I saw a lot is his ability to jump in the air and use his body to create some separation. I really like that.
He does pretty much everything that I want him to do well, and I would be ecstatic if we took him in the second round.
Wow. Ooh, second round would be...
Tell us a little more about him.
I would be in between on that one, just because I think there's a lot of good talent up there, and I'd rather see Andy Isabella personally, but in the second round pick.
See, I'm not sold on Isabella nearly that high. Third round.
Okay,
yeah, that seems like a reach for
and then who is that late guy? Who is that really late guy that we're not talking about?
Really late, I'd probably say someone like a Greg Dortch out of Wake Forest. Small guy. He's not going to bring pretty much anything in terms of muscle, but very fast, very agile, would make a great returner, and has showed out pretty well in that role.
Yeah, Greg Dortch out of Wake Forest. I'm trying to remember how he played against Notre Dame. I think they played Notre Dame this year, right?
Maybe.
He's 5'7", 173. So a really small guy.
That is very, very small. Accurate description. Well done.
He would definitely pop up during those Wake Forest games, though, for sure. So let's move on to one more category. This is a really controversial category this year because the Lions could take one in the first round with T.J. Hockenson. But we've talked about T.J. Hockenson. We talked about Noah Fant a lot. If the Lions decide not to go with tight end in the first round, we think they're going to target one in this draft at some point. Third, fourth, fifth round, who are some of the guys that we should be looking at tight end, Adam?
I've only got two, actually, out of Hawk and Fant. Everyone touted this as a fantastic tight end class, but only two really stuck out to me. I like Dawson Knox out of Mississippi, 6'4", 254. And then Josh Oliver out of San Jose State, 6'5", 249.
So what is it about these two guys that stick out to you?
So the main guy that I would look at is Dawson Knox, and probably around the third round. He's been growing in popularity recently, so you may have to trade into the bottom of the second. But we're not hearing a lot about him just because he's been on a team with such dominant receivers. He's from Mississippi, so he had DK Metcalf and he had AJ Brown both stealing targets from him. He was never super productive as a result. It's a little like George Kittle back in the day.
I kind of like that. I do like that because he only had 284 yards and zero touchdowns on the year.
Yeah,
it sounds good, but I wouldn't want to take him in the second or third round, though.
What do you think of Irv Smith out of Alabama?
Oh, that testing scared me. Gotta be honest, for a guy who's supposed to be athletic and catching passes all over the field, that scared me.
What part of
his tape shows a good player, but
yeah, Irv Smith 4.63 40, so not the fastest tight end. 19 reps on the bench, 32.5-inch vertical, 7.32 cone drill. So you are correct. We would expect his testing numbers to be a little better, considering he's only weighs 242.
And on top of that, it's not like there aren't those super athletic tight ends that you could make into something this year.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I love metrics like this because he ran a 4.63, which is like, that's not great. But Eric Ebron, who we drafted at number 10, ran a 4.6 flat, and we thought that was exceptional at the time. And I'm pretty sure
Ebron was heavier.
Was he much heavier?
Not much, but he was heavier, and I think a little taller.
No, he's definitely taller. He's like 2 inches taller.
Yeah.
Hey, what do they say about the blocking ability of this guy, Ox, or whatever you're talking about from Mississippi?
Knox.
I just want to point out one last thing.
Knox, I mean, Knox.
That Hawkinson's only 9 pounds heavier. Like, I'm just saying, I've always found this fascination with the draft where, like, one guy, he's like, he's diminutive. He doesn't have the size, but, you know, he's like 6'4". Another guy who's 6'4", they're like, exceptional size. This guy's got all the things you want. That always just kind of gets me when it's on draft time, the way, like, it almost seems like a double standard that, I don't know, it's just funny to me.
Well, size is more than height, though, isn't it?
It is. No, it's size, height and weight. I mean, obviously, but I'm just saying, like, he's only 9 pounds lighter than Hawkinson, and we're saying that not at 242 pounds, he ran a 4.63, which is a tenth of a second faster than Hawkinson, but then it's like, he's kind of slow.
Like UJ's gut is like 75 pounds, but if you look at him on paper, he sounds good.
That's right. It's deceiving.
He can throw that gut around with the best one. You better watch out.
Yeah. Smith, the more telling number is his 3-cone, which was 7.32.
No, definitely. He should be showing better movement skills. I agree. I just think it's funny some of these things. It seems like it comes up mostly with, like, old linemen and stuff. But, yeah, no, you're right. Mm-hmm. He wasn't as impressive as you'd hope for a guy who's pretty much going to be a dedicated receiver.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, I would say if he's in that move tight end role, he's going to have to get open quickly because he's just not got that wiggle in him.
Yeah. So, Adam, before you leave, I just want to get what you think the Lions are going to do in the first three rounds. I want to get your final predictions before Thursday.
Hint, hint, say Paris Campbell in the second round.
Let's see. Off the top of my head, I would say it's either going to be Jonah Williams, who I would not be a big fan of in the first, or it'll be I've seen a possibility of maybe a Josh Allen slipping, or Ed Oliver is the ideal pick.
Yes. I only see Jonah Williams as a first round pick if we trade back.
Agreed.
is
hang back that I wouldn't be surprised.
And then who? What is your prediction just for second and third round? Don't spend too much. Just shoot. Shape in the heart.
Make a commitment.
Fine. We'll say first round is going to be Ed Oliver. Second round we'll do Chris Lindstrom, and then
I like that.
Third round we'll go with Andy as a.
All right, nice draft.
I really like that.
I like it. I like it. Well, thank you, Adam, for coming on again and being our draft expert the last couple of weeks here and giving us some really good names to look out for.
Thanks, Adam,
for having me.
Thanks, Adam.
Of course.
We appreciate it. And go Lions.
Go Lions, go Lions.
Baby. Yeah. Keep drinking that blue Kool-Aid, man.
So, blue Kool-Aid drinkers, Adam, we appreciate him coming on and giving us a lot of good opinions on the draft. What you guys are going to be doing on Thursday for the draft? Do you guys have any plans? Are you just going to be sitting at home watching? Do you guys do anything ritual, anything like that?
I'll be following it somewhere.
Watching it on television. Watching it,
probably watching
it. I can tell you. I don't know
if somebody has a – I don't know. People are all different.
I think there will be alcohol involved. I'm pretty sure.
Blue Kool-Aid. Some blue Kool-Aid?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. So, isn't that what I said?
Hey, UJ.
Yeah.
UJ, didn't you have Hockenson as your first pick?
That was my mock draft. Yeah, Hockenson.
No, because since we did our last podcast, he seems to be moving slotted to the Lions a lot more, especially with Montez Sweat with his heart condition.
Yeah,
being kicked down the.
It's still not my first choice. It's just that it's my prediction of what's going to happen.
No, I know, but I'm saying that a lot of people are saying that might happen. I mean, you're not alone there.
I think it's a bad pick, and you should feel bad about it.
I don't. And if we did,
I love the idea of having Jesse James and TJ Hockenson out as a double.
I do too, man. It sounds awesome, man.
Yeah, I do too. I'm hoping somebody, because now the Raiders are saying they might have some secret pick, and then the Cardinals might not take quarterback now, so things could shake up a little bit. We don't know.
Well, didn't they say Kyler Murray tested bad in the Wonderlic? Did someone say that?
He scored really low.
He just looked at it and he started licking it, and they were wondering why. So isn't that what you told me to do?
Maybe Mitch Trubisky helped him study for it.
Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping there's some shake up where Allen falls to us, or somebody.
Josh Allen falls to us.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
Bob Quinn.
You never know.
Trying to get to the podium fast.
I don't think it'll happen, but, sometimes guys fall for mysterious reasons.
I know.
So
you're right.
Sure. We'll see.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah. So what are you doing, Z? What is your ritual?
I've had different experiences. I don't have a certain – I did like when it was in Chicago those 2 years. We would go up there to watch the first round.
Well, yeah, that's true. I did, too. Nice. That's 2 years.
It was fun. You find, you try to find some Lions fans, and you celebrate, and then okay. it's crazy what's been built up around the draft. It's literally people – there's no game going on. It's people getting drafted, and they have a whole event. It's just unlike any other sport. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's the only true sport. All the others are just things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Famous.
I guess your tennis game must not be very good, huh, Jackie?
Well, yeah,
that's not a real sport. No.
That was a quote of the late great Jack Ruddy Jr. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I know.
they're gonna shut down Nashville for this thing. It'll be really cool. I would think the coolest. I will give credit to and I. You know how much I hate Philadelphia, but they did a really good job with the draft.
Yeah, but did you see ABC is going to be doing the draft? I mean,
ABC and ESPN.
Yeah, but you see who's hosting it? That
Robin Roberts.
Come on, man! Are you kidding
me? This is what they're doing. This is what I read. At least quote unquote is that on ABC, the one with Robin Roberts, they're going to focus more on the stories of each player and
God.
And
that whole thing. But if you go to ESPN, you're going to get the X's and O's breakdown of each player. So don't for those listening, don't watch ABC draft unless you like puff pieces. If you want to get the X's and O's and the real meat and potatoes, go to NFL Network or go to ESPN.
Watch Robin Roberts like be like a total ace on the spot, like knowing all our like football, like way better than Mike Mayock, and he's like, okay,
all right. Look at this guy set up a swim move to set up the counter product, the counter move on the inside.
All the players are just sitting there like their jaws dropped, like. This girl knows football better than me.
Now, if that happens, I'll eat bull testicles.
Another volunteer.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, the draft is this Thursday night. I believe it starts around 7:30. Each pick takes about 15 minutes. It's way too long and unnecessarily.
At least it's shorter than it used to be.
But barely. I feel it's longer than it used to be because it's 3 days. It used to not be 3 days.
Well, yeah, it used to be more compact.
They gave
yeah.
me enough more time for each pick, though, in the past. Though.
Yeah, well, they're not suffering in ratings.
They should just give every team 1 day to make a pick, 24 hours. Then the draft
string it out
like,
till the new season
for
starts.
A month. It could be a month long for the first round.
Be longer.
It'd yeah. be great.
You have to love draft week, though. Like all those things you were just talking about. Kyler Murray, the Wonderlic, the heart conditions become more of a thing of Montez Sweat. Just the amount of rumors they could put out there to try to lower these guys' draft stock so these teams can take them.
Yeah. I once heard Josh
Allen. It's kind of great.
Josh Allen kicked Puppy once, so I think he should fall to 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we know the Lions like having guys on their team, you know, that have dangerous puppies. Oh, wait, no, that was you're talking about harming puppies. You're talking about harming
little Rufio.
Yeah. Damn you, little Rufio.
That bastard.
He was framed.
He was, as it turned out.
He was, yeah.
Rufio Snow. Okay, bad. Game of Thrones.
Yep,
no.
Okay, so coming up on the podcast. This Thursday, post Lions draft pick, we will have our instant reaction to the Lions first round draft pick. And you never know, maybe we'll trade up and there's a second. We have two emergency podcasts. You never know what's going to happen. It's a draft. It's a lot of fun. But we want to thank Adam for coming on the last couple of weeks here to give us his opinion. And just thank you to Bob, UJ, and Rud Dog for coming on tonight just to give our final thoughts before Thursday.
All right, Z.
All right, thanks, Z.
Yeah. Thank you to all listeners for listening. We hope you enjoy the draft. We hope we have a really good pick and for our Super Bowl this year. Regardless of who they pick, the guy's got to feel like $1 million because he's going to win a Super Bowl in the next year.
Absolutely.
Regardless of who he is.
No doubt.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least,
go! Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rah, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain, a Lions victory.
Go!
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.